today, okay, number one is I'm not a lectionary preacher, generally. I don't go and sit down in the book and look and see what's up for the day and say, okay, this is what I'm preaching on. I had done that. Actually, one time I sat down and planned out for 6 months the lectionary. I planned out what scripture I was going to use, and I planned out what hymns we were going to sing, and I even came up with sermon titles. My organist loved it. I hated it. And about half the time, things changed because I just felt constrained by it. That's okay. Some people do fine with the lectionary, and y'all do fine with the lectionary. And so far, since you've been so kind to have me here, I've been able to have the lections speak to me. And this week, Jeremiah spoke to me. I'm sorry, Andrea, I gotta say it. I can't say it because Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Ribbit, he was a friend of mine. He had good wine too, man. Ribbit. I was told not to say that, but come on. You know, everybody here knows Jeremiah the bullfrog, right? See? You know, it's not like we're all 25 and they say, huh? But they'd probably say, who's Jeremiah anyway? So Jeremiah that was like, anyway, Jeremiah spoke to me today. And I want to tell you about Jeremiah and his preaching, because Jeremiah was basically a preacher. He wasn't really a writer. He was a preacher. And he was kind of like Paul. You know, Paul went around preaching, and yes, Paul wrote letters, but a lot of stuff that Paul said and did was written down by an amanuensis. He had a secretary, and so did Jeremiah. Jeremiah's secretary's name was Baruch. Okay, here's your Hebrew lesson for the day. We had Hebrew last week, too. Anybody know what Baruch means in Hebrew? It means blessing. So, Baruch was a blessing to Jeremiah and to us because he recorded some of the things that Jeremiah preached. Now, some of the things that are in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah wrote too. But some of it was written down by Baruch. And it was all mixed up and edited and put together by who knows how many people before it came to us. But you know what? It is the Word of God. And that's what counts. So who exactly was Jeremiah? Anybody know? Yeah, he was a bullfrog, right? But Jeremiah was the son of a man named Hilkiah. Hilkiah was what was called a Kohen in Hebrew, second word for the day. Kohen means priest. You recognize the name George M. Kohen? Mm-hmm. You want to make it English, it was George M. Priest, which made Jeremiah one of the Levites. He was a Levitical person. He was in a priestly line. He came from the village of Anatoth, which was in the southern kingdom in Benjamin. So even though he was a Levite, he was also kind of, sort of, but not really a Benjaminite. He was in that area growing up. It's kind of like if you immigrated to this country from Germany, you're German, but you live in Florida, so you're a Floridian, you know, even though you're that kind of thing. God called Jeremiah to ministry in about 626 B.C. Tumultuous time in history, about 80 years before the northern kingdom of Israel had been overrun and destroyed by the Assyrians. In about 40 years, the Babylonians were going to come in and destroy the southern kingdom. People didn't know that yet. But guess what? His job was to tell them. Because Israel had forsaken God. They had given up. Well, not really. But what they did was they started bringing in other stuff. It's called syncretism. They would bring in the Baals. Y'all know the word Baal or Baal or Baal or, you know, B-A-A-L? Well, there isn't really one god named Baal or Baal. It's actually kind of sort of a word that means gods or God. So you could, this green square is a Baal. This is an idol. And this thing here is a Baal. It's an idol. There were many of them. And they were bringing in these different Baals. They were bringing the Ashtaroth. They were setting up altars. They didn't really get rid of Yahweh, but they brought these other things in. They went so far as they were sacrificing their children to a god named Moloch. A Molech. Not a good idea. They had gone so far as a nation from God's laws, they completely broke the covenant that he had made with them, that God had made with them, with Abraham and his people, and God withdrew his blessing from them. Didn't mean God turned around and destroyed them, but he just stopped giving them extra perks. You know, it's kind of like if you get a job and you get all this extra time off, and all of a sudden the boss says, well, you don't get the time off anymore. You're not getting punished, but you're not getting the freebies anymore. God took away his blessing. So Jeremiah gets called by God and is guided by God to go and warn the people, tell them what they had been doing that was wrong. I mean, they knew it was wrong. They knew the law. They knew what the covenant was. They knew what they were supposed to be doing. They did it anyway. But sometimes you got to be called out. If you're doing something wrong, I don't care. You work at the post office and you steal stamps. Every day, whenever you sell a roll of stamps, you pull two stamps out of the inside of it and put it in your pocket. So when I buy a roll of stamps, I only get 98. I'm not going to sit there and count them. Okay? That's what you're doing. You don't work at the post office, man. Okay. You know that's wrong. But for whatever reason, you know you can get away with it, so you're doing it. She knows it's wrong. And pretty soon, she's got this whole stack of two stamps together, but then all of a sudden, she gets called on. You, who are in the station next to her, knows what to do. Her buddy, sister, friend, whatever. So you grab her, slap her upside the face, and say, hey, look, you're doing this wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. You know that. But you know what she said? And she kept going until the supervisor catches her, and then you know what she got? She got the boot right out the door. Okay? And that's what God basically did. He was saying, these people are doing things wrong, Jeremiah. You've got to tell them. They're going to experience all kinds of problems. They're going to have famine, and they're going to be under foreign conquest, and they're going to be plundered, and they're going to be in captivity in Babylon. And by the way, y'all know the expression, the exile, the Babylonian exile? When that happened, the Babylonians didn't take everybody from Israel to Babylon. They took the royal family. They took all the advisors. They took the scribes. They took the government and the important people. They probably took the important businessmen and stuff like that. They didn't take everybody, but they took those people. They cut the head off the snake, as it were. That's what the exile was. So they didn't take everybody. There were still lots and lots and lots of Jewish people in Israel. And that was the exile. So here's Jeremiah. And he was a preacher's kid, like I said. And a lot of preacher's kids fail as people. You all know that? You know, preacher's kids turn out sometimes to be the worst people in the world. But then preacher's kids' parents sometimes don't do too great either. Jeremiah didn't want to be a preacher. He didn't want to listen to God. He fought against it. He didn't go and argue with his daddy, the Kohen, but he fought with God. He stood there in the long procession of people who fought against God. Remember Moses? What did Moses say when God said, go talk to Pharaoh? I don't talk too goodly. People think maybe he stuttered. And God said, well, your brother Aaron will talk with you. Well, fix that one. Isaiah said, well, I can't speak either. And what happened? Well, God said, well, here's a coal. Burn your lips. Now you talk. God said to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah said, I'm just a kid. I'm a boy. I can't talk. But God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. And you shall go to all to whom I send you and speak whatever I command. I put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And Jeremiah said, that's some job description, isn't it? That's heavy. And that's Jeremiah's background. And that's what happened. And he finally accepted it. And he had a tough time afterward. Just like the nation, Jeremiah lost everything. He didn't have a home. Didn't have a family. The people hate him. The folks in his own town tried to kill him because they didn't like what he had to say. Nobody likes a doomsayer. Even his own kinfolk tried to kill him. And they finally drive him off. And he's all on his own. He has Baruch with him, and that's it. Jeremiah has one possession in the world. Anybody can guess what that is?
Yeah, what?
I'll take that as a correct answer. She said, God is with him. He had God's word. And with that one possession, that's all he needed, and he kept them going. Jeremiah's world is a lot like ours, and I think that's why this pastor spoke to me. Because we have a lot of people condemning the things that go on today, just like Jeremiah did. Things that aren't right. I mean, people are pointing out the truth. Black lives matter, and they do. But so do white lives, and brown lives, and red lives, and yellow lives, and green lives, and purple lives, and human life matters. All the lives of God's children, all God's children matter. People talk about fracking, for example, oil drilling, good or bad. They complain about global warming or climate change. You know, people scream about this. They get mad about this. They condemn it. Oh, no, I don't have my mask. The mask, I do. Mask or not mask? It's a big one today, isn't it? We got Sleepy Creepy Joe or Sleazy Donald. You know, people condemn and point fingers. You notice I'm even-handed here. You got people condemning and praising abortion. Women's rights or murder. I won't go on. I could go on forever. I mean, you know what this is like. This is our world today. People are condemning it, and those who condemn what the world likes get in trouble. Now, Jeremiah was one of the good guys, and he followed God's direction, and he suffered for it. And eventually, because the nation ignored what he had to say, they did too. And he saw all of it. He was part of it all. He could relate to them. Again, as I said earlier, it's a lot easier for someone who's been in prison and then gets out to go and minister to prisoners because they've had the shared experience. Jeremiah experienced everything the people did. He wasn't some outsider just talking from on high. He was one of them. R.E. Clement, he's an Old Testament scholar, he writes, when disaster was about to strike, the coming invasion, despair and a feeling of disillusionment and hopelessness emerged. In Jeremiah, as well as in the people. Jeremiah was down in the dumps because he knew what was coming, and he saw the people not changing. He kind of lost sight of his purpose, and he forgot who was ultimately in control. As Americans, we are individuals. We always have been, we always will be. We like to do things on our own, and we like to think that we can do things by ourselves. And you know what? Sometimes we just can't. And I'm just as guilty of that as the next guy. But he became depressed because of that. And because of that, we have lots and lots of people commented on it. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher from a number of years ago. He says about Jeremiah, "Nevertheless, in spite of his depression, in spite of the fact that he was bummed out, Jeremiah went on prophesying. He could not be silent. Though his prophesying brought him nothing but tears, he continued to prophesy because God's word came with such sweetness to his own soul and filled him and his heart with such ravishing joy and delight that he could not do otherwise than go and tell his fellow men." It's kind of like when you become a new Christian, you can't not tell other people. And us old Christians, and that means in terms of how long we've been a Christian, not our chronological age, us old, we old Christians have a problem with that because we've lost some of that oomph to go out and tell other people. We're in the same kind of a pit of despair that Jeremiah wound up in. And yet, he kept going. Let's see how good you are at remembering, because it doesn't matter how bad it gets, because God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Good.
Y'all are good because you remembered. I mean, that's good. You got it. Yeah, I know it's becoming cliche, but that's true. And it's something we need to remember. And Jeremiah knew that. He wouldn't have expressed it that way. But he knew. And if he didn't know it, how could he have gone on? If he didn't know it, now the decorum is being, how could he go on? Now, we're faced with similar problems, as I said. Now, I'm not expecting to be invaded from the north. I don't think the Canadians are going to come and attack us. And with the COVID around, I don't think they'd be on the visit. But with all the immorality and the paganism and the lying and the cheating and all the other kind of mess that's going on, that would be way, way too familiar to Jeremiah, the secretism. But right then and right there, he was depressed. And right here, right now, a lot of us are depressed. Because nothing was going right for him. And in a lot of ways, nothing's going right for some of us. I don't know, you may be having the time of your life. I'm sure Steve Dygert's having the time of his life, isn't he? And I can empathize because I know what it's like to be hit with a sudden bad day. Nothing was going right. In fact, he was in such a deep depression. He had not been in such a deep depression since he visited the Grand Canyon. I told him it wasn't funny. That came from my son. He thought it was going to be a funny joke. Deep depression, Grand Canyon, you know. Your son was not helpful to me. But seriously, depression is nothing to make a joke about. In fact, I did a Google search last night to find a joke about depression. And you know what I found? There are a lot of sick people making jokes out of this world. I did not find one joke that was a joke. Nothing that was funny. Because depression isn't funny. Now, everybody gets depressed sometimes. Again, when I asked my son for a joke, he came up with a character called Eeyore. And do you all know what an Eeyore is? He had to tell me. I didn't know. It's a Winnie the Pooh character. Apparently, it's a donkey that's chronically depressed. And I guess he's funny. But since I didn't know the character, I couldn't. But anyway, depression isn't fun. It is normal to get depressed sometimes. say, well, yeah, they're in a funk. You know, it's something you get over pretty soon because you get depressed. You're in school and you fail a test, well, you're going to be depressed for a little bit. You get over it. But when you become chronically, clinically, always depressed, whether it's real or imagined, that's a problem. And Jeremiah was close to that, but he had the only cure there is, which was the Word of God. He had God. And he had his mission, and he was pulled up out of that. The Word of God sustained Jeremiah through troubles like none of us have ever seen. He had been greatly persecuted for delivering in faithfulness what God told him to say, and that precious word in his own soul forced him to do it. He couldn't do otherwise. He had to speak the truth of God, even though he was vilified in every way possible. Everything short of death had been inflicted upon him, but still